All right, guys, hello, I'm back. I know it has been so long. I just kind of feel like I need to start over with this podcast. I'm gonna be really honest with you guys. I had no idea what I wanted this podcast to be when I started it. I didn't know if I wanted it to be interview style or just me talking to the mic or answering questions or talking about, you know, certain topics. I had no idea. And I think that that's a big reason why I kind of took a step back from the podcast. I had my YouTube and then Instagram, and then I felt like I needed to be on TikTok as well. And I just didn't have a whole lot of balance in my life. But over the last few months, I've been consistently listening to podcast episodes. And I feel like podcasts are one of those things that really, they get me out of the house. I enjoy them so much. I find them so helpful when it comes to different things that I'm trying to learn about or just entertaining in so many different ways. And I really missed it. I had to just sit down and come up with a plan for this podcast, and I feel like I have a good one, which made me so excited. I wanted to let you guys know that from now on, this podcast is going to be a mix of solo episodes as well as bringing on guests. And that is something that I'm really, really looking forward to. The podcasts that I personally enjoy the most are the ones where I get to learn something. I get to listen to an expert and someone on the other side who maybe doesn't know so much about a topic interviewing them. I feel like that's when I come out of it feeling like this was worth my time. And that's how I want you guys to feel when you leave this podcast, that maybe you learned something or maybe it made you feel less alone for, you know, in whatever it is you're going through. This podcast will always be about health, wellness, hormones, gut health, skin, all the things, you know, relationships, relationship to yourself. And there will be experts that will be interviewed. And I'll also do some solo episodes as well. Like this one's going to be obviously a solo one just because I wanted to do a little intro. I wanted to answer some questions that you guys left me on Instagram. But I do have three different people that I'll be interviewing within this next week. And I'm so excited for all three of those people. One of them is actually a board certified plastic surgeon. Another one is a wellness or hormone specialist. And I'm so excited to be reaching out to these people that I have personally been learning from so much and to bring them to you guys. If there's anyone that you particularly would be interested in hearing from, let me know, send me a DM or an email or something, and I will try and reach out to them and make that happen. I want this podcast to be something that is helpful for you guys. All right, now I want to just kind of jump right into some of the questions that you guys left. So someone said, hormonal health, five things that made the biggest impact. You guys, I can go on and on. I mean, I cannot wait to bring on a hormone specialist and we can talk about, you know, PCOS and endometriosis and all the different, you know, chronic things that happen in our bodies. But I would say that the five things that personally helped me with my case of PCOS, and PCOS is one of those things that is very, very individualized, I guess is the right word. I personally feel like my PCOS was very different and my PCOS experience was very different from what a lot of other women have gone through. It's a spectrum. It's also a set of symptoms, and those symptoms can be different for a lot of people. So, you know, take that for what it is. Also take it for the fact that I'm not a professional. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a specialist, but I have done so much research on this stuff and from personal experience of getting through PCOS and you know, not having to live with that anymore, this is what helped me. Number one thing that helped me was gut health, figuring out my gut health. I definitely had leaky gut. I had a lot of digestive symptoms that showed up first and then everything else followed, which is when I kind of figured out that I did need to tackle the gut first and then everything else. It was super weird, you know, like sometimes I would be constipated and then other times I would have almost really bad diarrhea. I'm sorry if this is TMI, but I feel like we need to just normalize talking about this stuff. Like my gut health was never just consistently good. It was always up and down. I had bloating and like really bad gas and indigestion, all these different things that made living just really hard. So introducing good bacteria into my gut, I started taking probiotics. I started eating vegan yogurts that had live probiotics in them, sauerkraut, drinking a lot of water, cutting out things that were, I knew that my body like didn't know how to digest, like dairy and gluten. It's interesting now, like I eat gluten now and it doesn't bother me anymore. But because my gut was already so inflamed, I kind of had to cut things out that I knew weren't really doing me any good. So also eating a very diverse diet and introducing different kinds of fruits and vegetables into my diet, I think played a huge role in healing it. But it took time, you guys. It took time and patience, and really being consistent and diligent with all the things that I was doing. I started taking minerals. I started going to acupuncture and taking herbal medicine from the acupuncturist that prescribed them to me. I went to acupuncture for like at least 4 months straight, where I went 2 times a week. And that was obviously very expensive. I'm very lucky and very privileged that I got to do that. But I feel like that played a huge role in me being able to, you know, heal from PCOS and not have those symptoms anymore. Another thing was sleep. Going to bed each night at the same time, waking up relatively the same time, making sure that when I wake up, I get sunlight. I get, you know, 15 to 20 minutes of sunlight before 10 a.m., ideally even before 9 a.m., all those things help. You know, walking, exercise, the kind of exercise that you're doing is going to impact your hormones. And I found that for me personally, again, this does not apply to everyone, but for me, I couldn't do weightlifting anymore the way that I was doing it before. I got super burnt out and my body just couldn't handle any of the stress. So I needed to kind of take it back. I had to do more low intensity stuff, things like walking and hot yoga and really just resting. Rest was also just a huge one. I would say that's number five. Just allowing myself to be, taking more rest and not feeling guilty about it, not feeling like all my progress was gonna go away. I had to completely let go of my appearance and really focus on my health. And I feel like that really just made a huge difference in my outlook on everything. Next question, your mindset evolution during the years. Oh man, this is so interesting. I feel like the older that I get, the more at peace I become with everything in my life, including relationships, including my job, including my body. And I'm only 26 years old, so I'm not, you know, I think there's still a lot of learning left to do. But I found that at 26, I was able to just be really okay with myself and not be in such a rush to change everything and to like get to some crazy place. Like, I feel very happy and at peace with where my life is at right now. I really love this next question. It actually comes from a great friend of mine. Her name is Kate Noel. She has her own podcast. It's called Take the Cake. It's so good. But she says, how to advocate for yourself at appointments. So I've opened up a lot about this, especially on my TikTok. I feel like my TikTok is very much hormone and PCOS based. We talk a lot about PCOS, a lot about my experience with PCOS. And something that I struggled with a lot was coming into appointments with gynecologists and then having them tell me that my only option with PCOS was to go on birth control and try to just, you know, get rid of those, not get rid of those symptoms, but kind of mask those symptoms with birth control. And then when I was ready to have children one day, I'd have to do IVF. That was kind of across the board, the answer that I would get. And I felt really frustrated with that. I felt like a lot of the doctors that I went to, and again, I want you guys to know that I, you know, both of my parents are doctors. I have such a great respect for the medical industry, especially with how well they treat acute diseases. And like when it comes to medicine, I'm so grateful for it. I think that we are so fortunate and so lucky and I respect it. But I think that there's just this big problem when it comes to chronic disease, fast approach to trying to fix hormonal issues. And what I've realized is that it's just a complete opposite of that, especially when it comes to anything chronic. It's going to take time. It's going to take questions. It's going to take trial and error. And I think the doctors maybe don't have that time. And that's why I found it really frustrating going into the doctor's office and being like, but I don't want to go on birth control. Isn't there any other way? I mean, can you tell me more about PCOS? And a lot of them would just tell me like, you know, we don't know enough about it. It's just a set of symptoms, blah, blah, blah. So I found it frustrating. I think one way that you can advocate for yourself at appointments is really taking your time and not letting them kind of rush you out of the office. If you have questions, come in with those questions, whether you need to have them written down or, you know, practice even saying them in the mirror. I mean, I know that that sounds crazy, but I really think that it can be intimidating because obviously if you are sitting on the other side of that, you feel like because they're so educated that you almost don't know how to stand up for yourself in that sense, but it's okay to. You have to know that you are your best advocate and you have to do that for yourself the way that you would for your child or your friend or your mother or anyone that you care about. You have to care enough about yourself to advocate for yourself. I found it very easy to advocate for myself in the holistic realm. When it came to holistic doctors, I felt that with chronic disease in particular, or with chronic issues in particular, they really took their time. And obviously, again, it's also because I was paying out of pocket for it, and you know, insurance comes into play, and like I understand why. Having the mental discipline to heal your gut and not eat junk. This is such a great question. You know, I wish I had a better answer for you guys, but honestly, I found that with myself, what it took was to hit rock bottom. It took me waking up every single day with these horrific gut symptoms that I knew I just couldn't live with. I mean, they impacted everything. It impacted whether I went to the movies with my friends, or I went on a date with a new guy, or how comfortable I felt naked, how I looked at myself, but also how I felt waking up and feeling in pain all the time. That's what it took for me to really commit to healing my gut and fixing my lifestyle and learning more about it and committing that time. I had to sit down and be like, you know, I know that this is going to take time. I know there's no quick fix for this other than what the doctors are offering me. And I knew I didn't want to take that route. So I had to sit down and be like, I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to do my research. It's going to be a lot of trial and error, but I know that this is the direction that I want to move to, because I cannot live this way anymore. And I really think you have to ask yourself, do I want to live this way? If I feel good while I'm on my period, should I still take it easy with exercise or just go for it? Listen, you know, I talk a lot about learning your cycle and how through different stages of your cycle, you're going to have more energy. You're going to have more estrogen at certain points, which is going to give you more energy. You're going to have more progesterone at certain points, which is going to make you feel more groggy and tired and achy. And knowing that and feeling connected to your cycle is wonderful. It's such a privilege. But at the end of the day, if you have more energy while you are on your period, then definitely go for it. You know, there's no need to like hold yourself back, especially if you feel energetic. And when you are in tune with your body, you will know what that feels like. It's not just a little thought in your brain that's like, you're telling yourself, you're lying to yourself, oh, I have more energy, I should go work out because you feel bloated. Like that used to happen to me a lot. I would get my period and I'd be like, no, I really do feel so energetic. When in reality, I'd be so tired, but I wanted to go work out because I felt like I wanted to work it off. Whereas now when I'm on my period, I don't care if I'm bloated. I don't care if I've just eaten so much more food, because I know that that's what my body needs at that time. And I know that I need to rest. But at the end of the day, if you really truly feel like you have more energy, maybe your PMS symptoms come during the week of PMS, aka premenstrual, before your period comes, maybe that's when you need to take it more easy. And then when you get your period, you're energized. Like, that's okay too. But just being really honest with yourself, I think that that is the key. As long as you're honest with yourself, you will have the ability to listen to your body and function from that place always. That is my advice. Methods of birth control since coming off the pill. For example, condom brands that you recommend. So I am in a long-term committed relationship. I have been over the last 3 years. Therefore, the method that we use is, to be fully honest, it's just a pull-out method and also tracking my cycle. I have, I need to knock on wood, a very regular cycle. Therefore, if I look at my app and I know that I'm ovulating, being really careful around that time, and then, you know, just again, really knowing your body. I think that you can use the tracking method. You just have to be very diligent with it and very careful with it, but it definitely works. I personally haven't used a condom in a very long time. I find it, they're very irritating, unfortunately, but I will do my research, and hopefully in the next podcast episode, I'll have some examples or brands that maybe aren't as irritating. Feeling like you're never doing enough to be your healthiest, but knowing you can't do everything. This is such a wonderful question and topic, and I really want to dissect it, because the other day I was talking to my mom, who she's a nurse and she works a 9-to-5. She works with the geriatric population, which is like the older population, and she's tired, she's stressed a lot, she doesn't have a lot of time. And I was trying to give her advice on how to heal her gut, and we were having conversation, and she kind of pointed out like, hey, I only have a very limited amount in my day to do all these things, you know, to work out, to sleep, to eat healthy, to do all of it. It's damn near impossible. And it really made me think. And that's why, like, I want this podcast to be realistic for people who this is not their entire life. You know, I am so privileged, and I'm so lucky that I get to do what I do, that I get to share these things with you guys. But I'm also really aware of the fact that most people don't have that privilege. So I want it to be very realistic to you guys. And to someone like my mom. So what I would say is pick your top three. You don't have to do everything. There's way too much out there, and there's always going to be more. There's always going to be more things that you could be doing, more things you could be adding into your diet, more things that you could be, you know, thinking about or reading about or exercising or walking or doing whatever. It's like you cannot do them all, but you can do your top three. You can have a good morning and night routine that maybe it's not a very long one. Maybe it's just 10 minutes at night and 10 minutes in the morning. It's maybe setting non-negotiables with yourself, like, hey, if I, you know, doesn't matter if I'm not finished with my favorite TV show by 9 p.m., I'm turning off my phone and I'm reading. I'm going to do my skincare routine so that by 10, I'm asleep. It's having non-negotiables and having your kind of top ones and not getting overwhelmed with all the other stuff. If you tell yourself, hey, I can only work out 2 times a week and I can only take 2 long walks a week, that's great too. It's just, you know, making the time for it and also maybe taking time away from the other things that you're doing, like being on social media or watching TV. Although I do think that all those things can be a form of self-care at times, I do also think that, you know, there are better things that you could be doing at other times. So it's finding that balance. But, you know, movement is always key. If you can get some movement in wherever and however you can, do it. If that means getting up every 30 minutes and taking a lap throughout your office, then that's what you got to do. If that means walking to the restaurant during your lunch break, then that's what you got to do. But finding a little bit of movement throughout your day is so important. Then, you know, your sleep. I mean, sleep is everything. Sleep is everything. So if you can somehow dedicate at least 7 hours of sleep a night, that is quality sleep, that is consistent, good sleep hygiene. I mean, hygiene, it's everything. And then your food, you know, can you meal prep on the weekends? I know that it sucks. I know it's not fun, but getting a big batch of lentil pasta and cooking that and having that throughout the week, maybe bulk cooking your vegetables and baking like a chicken and meal prepping that so that you have lunch throughout the week. The little ways that you can help yourself to reach your top three goals is really the key to all of it. Excuse my dog. But that's how you're going to reach them. And again, I think just tuning everything else out. If you can get your sleep, your movement, and your food, and then obviously if you can somehow just manage your day-to-day stress, whether that be journaling or meditation every, you know, few days or so, or just giving yourself a little bit of time to be alone, even if it's like 10 minutes a day. I know there are a lot of moms out there who work really hard jobs and they come home and they have to deal with their kids. But if you can somehow at least give yourself 10 minutes to do something good for yourself, even if it just means to like sit in silence, that's huge. So yeah, that's really all that it is. Managing your stress, getting good sleep, staying hydrated, eating healthy. Like we know all of this, but sometimes it just, you know, takes a little reminder. All right, guys, this is going to conclude this Q&A and this little update. I wanted to thank you guys so much for being so patient and so supportive. I know so many of you guys have been here from like back in my Gymshark days, back in my weightlifting and tracking macros days. And I feel like I truly look back at those years and I have a hard time figuring out how I was really feeling and what I was really thinking and who I really was at my core. And I feel like now I have a really good sense of self. So I want to just thank you for like sticking through that with me. I mean, that's huge. Thank you for listening to this episode. I'm so excited for what's to come and I will see you guys that's my YouTube outro. I will talk to you guys soon.